In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of Prophets, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We heard yesterday in the reading how Ahab, the king of Israel, was desiring another man's property. And even though he made an offering that seemed to be just, the man refused to accept his offer because he could do so. It was his land. He could want to sell it or not. But in this case, the land had another special added property to it, which would prohibit him from selling it. And that was, it was his ancestral land, which was like to be, it was like Social Security in those days. You had a piece of land that was for your family and your, from your ancestors, and one that you should pass on to those after you, that was to be like Social Security, that you always had a piece of land that you could farm it, or it was kind of like your assurance of having some something to sustain yourself. And so technically Naboth couldn't sell it because it was that ancestral inheritance. And so for Ahab to be wanting it and to be strongly insisting on wanting it was really out of character. Once he heard that it was Naboth's ancestral inheritance, he should have just said, "Oh, I understand," and gone on his way. But he was very upset and downcast because he couldn't have something that he wanted. And he didn't seem to have any qualms about his wife's evil intentions. He didn't ask her how she was going to get this land for him. It seems that it didn't concern him whether it was a just means or an unjust means. And he knew his wife from the past, her actions. She was very devious in her dealings, as we saw yesterday, how she had Naboth framed and unjustly accused and then had him executed. And today we see where Elijah the prophet was sent by God to accuse him of this sin and to show him, to tell him that God had punished him for it. So Ahab is confronted right there in the vineyard of Naboth. As he's there to take possession of it, God sends the prophet Elijah to remonstrate him and to tell him what his punishment will be. It shows us that even in the Old Testament, you know, the whole idea of social justice has always been part and parcel of the teaching of and the commandments of God. We know that the Ten Commandments have to do with love of God and love of neighbor, and that's where social justice really has its foundation, is in the Ten Commandments, and especially the second part, which deals with how to love your neighbor. Obviously, we hear a lot about social justice today, but it seems to be only centered on one little tiny sector of that social justice, and it's about either wages or immigration or something to that effect. But it doesn't seem to, even within the church, those who promote social justice forget that probably the biggest part of social justice is protecting the innocent, protecting the little ones, those who can't defend themselves. And we can look at our world today and see that big sector of that protecting the innocent and those who can't defend themselves is very much a part and parcel of the pro-life movement, to protect the unborn, those who cannot defend themselves, to protect the unborn, even when there's little embryos, from being abused, being experimented with, to use our neighbor even a tiniest member of our human family for experiments or for what can we get from them to benefit somebody else, that's a very utilitarian and a very atheistic look at our neighbor. You know, to look at our neighbor as somehow some kind of product that we can use to our advantage is very, very offensive to God, and is not at all practicing charity to our neighbor. And so here we see Elijah already in the Old Testament pointing out the social injustice of the powerful Ahab taking advantage and using his power and his position to steal from his neighbor, from the little ones around, those who can't defend themselves or have the power. And Ahab points out to him that he's going to be punished, not only himself, but his descendants. Since in one sense, the injustice to Naboth was not only to Naboth, but also to his descendants, because he took his ancestral land, which was to be there for the future generations for their safety and their security. And we see that Ahab, when one of the few times where Ahab, he has true repentance, he is truly sorry for his sin, and even God points that out to the prophet. You know, see how he has humbled himself. And so God mitigates his punishment, showing that even God in his punishment is merciful. Instead of punishing the punishment taking place during the lifetime of Ahab, he delays it and mitigates it to some extent for the sake of the repentance. Even what little repentance Ahab showed there, God in his mercy and in his justice rewarded him for being to some degree sorry for what he did. We know that eventually the prophecy of Elijah took place, and Ahab did die a rather unfortunate death, and that the dogs did lick his blood as he prophesied, to show the kind of it's considered a humiliation, you might say, to have died in such a way. But we know that even today, those who are leaders of nations, they have a certain obligation, not just the Ahabs of the Old Testament, who was not only the civil leader of Israel, but also to be a religious leader in some degree to protect the true faith. He failed on both accounts very miserably. Even today, leaders of nations are not just secular, to be concerned about the secular order, but they also have a responsibility to the moral order of their society. They're to give good example. They're to see that God is not offended. They should enact laws which are in accord with the laws of God. And when they don't, not only will they be punished, but those who are under them will also receive a certain punishment because of the wicked things that their leaders do. And why is that? Well, because when you enact unjust laws, everybody's going to suffer for them, everybody who is affected by that. And especially if you have the power at your hands to put certain people in positions of authority, and you don't seem to be concerned about their moral character or their immoral plans, well then of course you will have, in one sense, have become an accomplice in their evil deeds, and you will be punished as well. So we need to see the responsibility we have in the social order, not only if we're a leader or are be giving authority over others, but those who also, in one sense, have a position of putting those people in authority, we all have a responsibility to God, and we will reap what we sow. If we don't care about God's law, we will wreak havoc. If we are truly sincere and wanting to please God in all of our actions, even how we vote, even the people we select to lead us, and we're concerned about their moral character, and not just that they seem to know how to make money or are good with words and can say a lot of things, then we are in big trouble if we don't have enough love of God to be concerned about this part of our society. So as we talk about social justice, we need to see the whole picture, for the gospel of Christ permeates every aspect of our life, both private and both public. They are both touched by the gospel, and all of these things have to be in accord with God's law. Let us ask Our Lady, the Mother of God, who was always attentive to God's word and obedient to his word, assist us that we too will be sensitive to every aspect of our lives, trying to be faithful and attentive to God's word and obedient to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.